Savior God, guide us by your word and spirit that we might hear your truth, heed your call, and be prepared for Christ's coming this Christmas. Amen.
Reading from the prophet Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our responsive reading today comes from Romans 13. Let us pray the passage responsively, listening for a word or phrase that especially speaks to us. In the moment of silence after the reading, we may hold the words we heard in our hearts and then allow them to inspire our own prayers to God. Let us pray with God's word. This is a paraphrase from the message of Romans 13, 11 through 14. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. Night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute, but must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around in dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The word of the Lord. If there are any young who would like to come forward, or young at heart, I won't say anybody who can or can't come. It's up to you. Hi. I'm going to talk to them, and you can follow along, okay? Cool. Okay. We have a lot of passages this Sunday that talk about being ready. And it's hard to be ready because eventually you get tired. I remember as a young person, quite a bit younger than you, about half your age actually, being told that Grandpa was coming for a visit. And I did not understand at the time that snow meant Grandpa would be late. So I stood by the front door and watched. And Grandpa did not come in the 5 minutes that I expected Grandpa to come. And I waited for a little bit longer, and then I sat down. And I waited for a little bit longer, and finally I got bored and wandered off. And that's what happens a lot when we wait. And I got doing something, and when I was end up doing something, then all of a sudden I heard the doorbell, and Grandpa was there. And I was like, wait, I'm busy, leave me alone now. But Grandpa was there, and it was time to be with family. We hear in our passages the challenge of being ready. And it is hard to be ready. There's a lot of times we get distracted by a variety of other things. But we also understand that we need to be ready because we don't know when we're going to be called upon by God to serve and to serve others. To be ready to share of his message and to be ready to share into the world. So let us be ready as best as our ability. What happens when you are at school and you're not paying attention and all of a sudden the teacher calls on you? You stammer and you look around for the message and the answer and you try to hopefully find it on the right page of your book. So like that, and like many other times, we need to pay attention and be ready to the best of our ability. Let's join together for a quick word of prayer. Holy God, paying attention can be challenging. Help us to listen to the best of our abilities, to you and your call into our busy lives. Encourage us always. Amen. Did you guys smarty? Okay. Take care. So, it needs to be said a little bit about the Matthew passage, because there is a popular concept that people take from this passage and they misconstrue it very easily. And that is this idea of rapture. You might have heard of it before. This idea that somehow God's going to come and pull some of the people away and leave others behind. And this is basically the only passage that people cite when they try to talk about this. And what I want you to understand is that this is a popular concept that's not really embraced by the church. Rapture is not what the gospel is trying to talk about. And that's what's important to understand whenever we read a passage, that we don't just pull out a couple of key verses where it talks about one being taken and one left behind, but rather to read the entire passage and see what is the teaching that Christ is pushing on. Where is Christ trying to get us to understand? And when you read the whole passage, he's talking about being ready. So think about being busy at your job and having your ear ready to listen to Jesus' call versus being so engrossed that you miss it when Jesus calls you. We can be so engrossed with our daily work that we miss it when Jesus says, here is your opportunity to witness to your coworker. Here is your opportunity to be a friendly ear to someone who is grieving. Here is your opportunity to be my hands and feet to a needing world. Or are we too engrossed and left behind when the message of God comes to serve? There's something else that's very important we hear about this passage, and it's something the church has wrestled with for eons upon eons. A number of times in history, pastors, my folk, have been guilty of saying, I know when the second coming is. And if you follow me, I will share this special knowledge with you, and we can somehow get ahead of it. Whenever you hear anybody say this, check your pocketbook, because they're probably selling you something. Hear what the scriptures themselves say over and over and over again. People will not know. Only our Father in heaven knows the day and the time. Even the angels haven't been clued in yet. So if you ever hear someone goes, I know, they're not listening to their own scriptures. Be ready. Be alert. So with that in mind, looking now a little bit at both our gospel and our prophet, and even a little bit of our epistle, they all dovetail so well this week. I remember particularly being a student abroad and knowing that my time of studying abroad was coming to an end. It was time for me to go home and finish my studies. It was time for me to go home and get surgery. It was time for me to go home and see my girlfriend. And so for a variety of reasons, I was not the most astute of student for those last 2 months while in Germany. It was to simply say my brain was in other places. But somewhere I was still told, and my professor made a very distinct note of this, that my job here was not yet done. And I had to do my work here well. We often are caught with kind of a foot in both worlds, where we're not quite sure do we belong here in where we're going, or here where we are, or here where we're coming from. And it can feel very confusing, very almost noise-inducing, to be caught in these times of transition. Bless you. I think that's something that speaks very strongly to where we are as a church, both locally and globally. We certainly are still experiencing a time of transition, shifting from one leadership to another, in wrestling through the whole process of a search and call, and trying to find out what God has in store for Christ Presbyterian. It's also a very true case that the church in the United States is having a time of transition. We are not living in a time that looks like the one we grew up in. Where we are used to church as when we grew up is not like churches today, and how our culture engages with it. And this is not even to broach then other broader challenging worlds. The changes in our culture, the changes in our nation. With all of this, we can just feel at ill ease and not at peace. So when we hear something like Isaiah say, the Lord is going to come and no one's going to fight anymore, and instruments of war are going to be built into instruments of peace, we kind of look around and go, where is this? We are anywhere but a world in peace right now, with conflict across our nation as well as around the world. Where is this peace that you have foreshadowed? You say you're coming, Lord, in our gospel reading. Where are you in the midst of all this challenging times? This is so important to our call as Christians, to understand that we are being asked to live in tension, to be living in a place where we're pulled by two different points. One point going one direction and one point going another. A wise old word for the Christian is living in the world but not of the world. And that's a challenge. To say that I am going to be in this world that I love so much, but also live somewhat removed from it and ready for whatever God is going to do next. We can't always see as Isaiah did. It's so easy to get bogged down in the day-to-day and what feels like it's pressing upon us, to see where God is still working within, around, and throughout our reality. Sometimes we hear in this, and truly all of the Advent message, kind of a call of, Just get through the hard days, and a good day is coming. But if we do that, we do ourselves a disservice. For actually living in these times of transition and these times of tension are good for us. Isaiah, our first reading, is not someone who just expects everything to be perfect and wonderful. He probably knew war and hunger a whole lot more intimately than we ever did. But still, he lives in the presence of God and looks towards what that will be. And in doing so, he starts to see where he can be an instrument for that work. Living with that encourages us to be a part of. And that's sometimes challenging to really kind of wrap our heads around. So I'll use a different term or a different idea. Another word for tension could be resistance. Something that's resisting an action, resisting moving from one point to another in history, moving from one ideal to another in our church, moving from one experience of our childhood to our new experience as adulthood. Where else do we hear about resistance? That's when we go to the gym or we talk to a physical therapist. And they talk about resistance being that effort you're putting into the exercise. If we have an injury, or if we just want to be healthier, we need resistance to push against so that muscle regrows and becomes stronger. So it is too with the Christian life. We need the tension in our lives to step one foot into God's message and one foot in the world to strengthen us spiritually for what we will be doing. We are not called to get through this, but rather to work through this, to work through all the effort of the exercise, so that we are spiritually strong and ready when God says go. And we need to be ready. For as we mentioned earlier, there is no knowing when that time might be. It could be Tuesday morning this week when you're at work, or you're at the doctor's office, or you're off with family or friends. And you have that chance to share the message. You have the chance to share a message of peace or forgiveness or inclusion. And if we don't put the effort in now, we won't be ready when that call goes out. We hear that also in our epistle reading from the Romans. Paul reminds us that as followers of Jesus, we are called to lean into those times of tension, to be ready for the moment, to be wakeful from our sleep. For we do not know when we're going to be called upon. In other words, it's not enough to just be alive in Christ. We have to be ready in Christ. We have to be prepared, strengthened for our time of calling. This is so much of what it means to live the Christian walk, to keep awake, to have our spiritual muscles taut and ready. Now, like any good exercise, this is not easy. Again, if anybody ever tells you exercise is easy, they probably have a quick cure or a special supplement to take. Exercise is effort. Living in tension is effort. But it's good effort. For it's effort that will prepare us for what is coming next. And if nothing else, we know the season of Advent is being ready for what's coming next. Let us live into the tension with the best of our abilities, asking God for his help to strengthen us through these days and the days to come. Amen.